Chapter 6. From Living in the Past or Future to Living in the Now. I always used to wonder what my future would be like. When I was done obsessing about the future, I would be content for about 5 minutes, and then I would begin to obsess about the past. It's clear the ego has no intention of letting us enjoy the present. And that is because the present is holy ground, the only place where eternity meets linear time. The past is nowhere except in your mind, and the future is nowhere except in your mind. The ego is intent on having us live in one of those two realms as a way of making sure we will never live at all. If God dwells only in the present, then living in the past or future is bound to be painful because it leaves him out. Living fully in the present, the holy instant, is literally death to the ego, and that is why we resist it. As long as we identify with the life of the ego, reality itself seems scary. The things that are most important are everlasting. Everlasting doesn't refer to some eternal reality that begins when this life is over and some other life begins. It refers to a moment-by-moment reality that has gone on forever, is true in this instant, and will endure forever. Everlasting means always true. Eternity means a never-ending present in which God is. It is the dimension of his power, and to the extent that we use the present to focus on past or future, we disempower ourselves. The tennis player doesn't have time to think about the ball he or she just missed, because it would take away from the effort to hit the next one. It's the same with all of us all the time. The past doesn't automatically blend into the future, except in our minds. The past leads to the future simply because we allow it to. It is more a product of the way our brains function than of the way reality functions. We carry yesterday's thoughts into today, thereby programming tomorrow to be just like it. For the present is the moment of creation. By thinking about the past in the present, we simply recreate it in the future. Yet a miracle can intercede between past and future, according to the Course in Miracles, releasing every moment to endless new possibilities. In the holy instant, we can break the chain of yesterday's thought, reprogramming the future by thinking different thoughts today. A common mistake is to base our thoughts on yesterday's circumstances, not realizing those circumstances are simply the reflection of thoughts we're now free to change. It helps to ask ourselves why we choose to play so small when we don't have to. Belief is powerful, and whatever we believe, we will subconsciously make manifest. So why do we hold on to core beliefs about ourselves that are so demeaning? When we ask that question, the answers emerge. My family told me it wasn't okay to think I was a big deal. I thought people wouldn't like me if I had it all. I thought it might hurt my father's feelings if I made more money than he did. Yet whatever pain we might experience at others' negative reactions to our spreading our wings, it's nothing compared to the pain we cause ourselves by clipping them. At this time on the planet, no one can feel good about withholding their magnificence. Expressing your full potential is not just your right, it's your responsibility. As long as you keep thinking in limited terms, disbelieving in the possibility of infinite possibility in your life, then you will never experience the miracles God has in store for you. You will deny his gifts, taking on the ego's servitude instead. In a world such as this, fear is often the path of least resistance. If you want a miracle, you have to consciously claim it. And for everyone out there who might say, "How dare you?" there are at least two more who will say, "Thank you for showing me how." Changing our thoughts. It's a miracle. Sometimes I hear people say, "I'm ready to change my thinking, but I'm afraid that others around me won't change theirs, so it won't do any good." Perhaps, but not for long. For as soon as you change your mind, others will begin to change theirs, and those who do not will begin to fade away. The universe is primed to start over again at any moment, and it's only our own thoughts to the contrary that keep it from doing so. A miracle occurs when we ask God to intervene between our past and future, canceling out all fear and releasing us to new beginnings. A God who will part the Red Sea and raise the dead has no difficulty solving your problems. His is a radical power to repair and restore. When our faith is as audacious and radical as his power, we will experience that power to the fullest. Every moment is part of a divine curriculum, and if I experienced a lack of love in the past, then the present contains ways to compensate for it now. God is ever present. His hand is on everything. Whatever situation we're in now, whatever person or people we are relating to now, contains the key to both healing the past and releasing the future. We can be someone different than we were in the past, releasing the future to be different as well. If we release our past to God, He will change our minds about it for us, so says A Course in Miracles. Since only love is real and nothing else exists, the only reality about our past is the love we gave and the love we received. Everything else is an illusion and will stay alive in our experience only if we choose to hold on to it. According to A Course in Miracles, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. And that is the miracle, to embrace the real. Healing the past. When we go through difficult experiences, we have a natural tendency to want to talk about them. And to some extent, that's good. Processing with counselors and friends is one of the ways we heal. Yet there is another tendency, of the ego rather than the spirit, that leads us to articulate negative experiences in a way that keeps them alive. In a town I once visited, I had an experience that was very painful, and when my friends asked me what happened, I would tell them the story. But then I said to myself, enough already, it wasn't all bad. Think of the wonderful people you met and all the good things that happened there, too. So then when friends would ask, I would tell them the negative and the positive. But after a while, when I had done my forgiving and atoning and allowed my heart to heal, I found myself answering a query about that time in my life very simply. It was a special time. The words just came out of my mouth. I didn't consciously realize I was about to say them. But at the deepest level, those words were true because only love exists. Just saying them gave comfort to my heart. Everything that happens has a cause. Either it was caused by love and offers a chance to increase that love, or it was caused by fear, and spirit is present in the situation to lead us out of it. In most cases, as people say these days, it's all good. Accepting ourselves in the present. When I was younger, I wanted to be older, and when I got older, I wanted to be younger. When I was living in one place, I wanted to live in another, and when I was doing one thing, I wanted to be doing something else. I could never just settle into who I was and what was happening at the moment. It seemed that somehow I wasn't enough, what I was doing wasn't enough, and therefore my life was never enough. The truth is, every stage of our lives is perfect if we allow ourselves to really live in it. If we concentrate on the present, contributing and showing up for it as fully as we can, then any moment can have its blessings and the future will unfold in the direction of ever greater good. When we accept ourselves exactly as we are, and where we are, we have much more energy to give to life. We're not wasting our time trying to make things different. Any moment that we relax into the deeper ground of our being, giving up all struggle to be anywhere else, we're in exactly the right place at exactly the right time. There is a plan for our lives, God's plan, and it oversees exactly where we are and where we need to be going. As soon as we have learned to live most brightly in our present conditions, new and better ones will arrive immediately. But until we learn the lessons of the present, they will simply reappear in new guises, and it will seem as though nothing ever changes. According to A Course in Miracles, it's not up to us what we learn, but only whether we learn through joy or through pain. But if we don't yet trust that every situation is a lesson, we don't bother to ask ourselves what the lesson is. And unless we do, our chances of learning it are nil. Then the lesson will reappear with ever higher stakes until we learn it. We may as well learn it the first time when the chance to learn through joy is still available. The more times a lesson has to come around, the more pain it will generate. If you know in your heart that something is wrong, then ignoring it won't make it any less so. It will simply make fixing it even harder when it's brought about by a louder noise than the original sound of God's whisper in your ear.